Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty podcast, and I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are going to do a rundown of the running back position here heading into week three. So we've got the hand grenade matrix updated on the website, and some movement here. I don't exactly know how to depict San Francisco's, other than maybe with a giant red cross. I'm still projecting Elijah Mitchell to be the starter. I guess it's Sermon, Hasty, Mostert on IR. We'll see what comes of the rest of the position, but that's one that it's just a lot of unknown there. I'm still projecting Sermon to be the long-term guy. We'll see. I'm open to changes because this thing is changing frequently. So, if I get a first for Sermon, I'd do it. If I can get a second for him, I'm probably still going to hold at that price. Okay, Alvin Kamara, lead guy in New Orleans, no surprise there. I've actually moved up in confidence that the human hand grenade is Tony Jones. He should be rostered. If he's not, you're probably playing a pretty shallow league, would be my thought. But he's the clear injury away guy at this point, and it's basically consolidated between the two guys. Same with Zeke and Pollard. I know there's some call for Pollard should play ahead of Zeke. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to be what happens. It's just not, because they've got a lot invested in Zeke, and they're just not going to go away from that. For better or worse, I don't think that's going to happen. Delvin Cook, a little bit banged up this past week. Madison is your injury away guy, so we'll watch for that. You know, Delvin Cook has had some problems staying healthy early on in his career, so I don't necessarily think that's predictive or anything like that, but that he got banged up a little bit here, we'll have to see and watch that. And it looked like some type of ankle mechanism, and not too serious. But again, that's something I think to monitor here going forward. Darrell Henderson, rib cartilage issue. I think the backup is Sony Michel pretty clearly. Jake Funk after that. Pretty high confidence, and I think it's a high-level situation. Nick Chubb playing ahead of Kareem Hunt, which isn't a surprise. He's out playing Kareem Hunt, and they're basically 50-50 in the receiving game, which I think is a surprise. It's a high-level human hand grenade confidence and value situation, ultimately. Green Bay, same. Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, we kind of know what the situation is. It's a high-level performance, or a high level of confidence and a high level of value. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you have one of the more disappointing running backs so far this year. Again, I think there could be a rebound. I think there's potential upside on what he's done so far. But I do have some concerns with how well he has performed. He's basically the worst running back in terms of yards after contact this year. So disappointing there. One of the worst in terms of over expectation as well. Darrell Williams, I think, is the clear injury away guy. Jerick McKinnon is on the roster. I sort of have him hyphenated because he's clearly a step down from Darrell Williams. But I think it's notable there. Tampa, and I've got like no confidence in terms of who the actual, exactly how to order these guys. But I'll say, like, I think I know what the situation is, and I feel pretty confident about this one. I think we cut Gio outside of 30-man rosters. Like, it's really tough to hold him in, like, safe leagues, for example. I think he's not going to help you. So that's just the problem I have there. I think that the answer is Fournette. And he's out producing Gio in terms of both receiving, and he's out rushing Ronald Jones. So I think it probably takes an injury to one of those guys for him to truly make a difference, but he's cutting into enough of their usage right now as it is. I think he's the answer. So I think if you need a guy at the position, like, you could take him and start him, right? And I think that's fine doing that. And he's out producing Gio in terms of routes run, for example. And he's just a better running back than Ronald Jones. It's just what it is. And no matter what their coaching staff says about who's starting any given day, like, I'm trusting the prior of Fournette over Ronald Jones at this point. Okay, Derrick Henry, clear we kind of know what the pecking order is there. Afterwards, I think it's pretty clear it's Jeremy McNichols. Darrington Evans, we'll see when he returns. That whole situation we'll be watching for. But I think that situation is pretty clear. Again, McNichols is probably one of the lowest rostered guys least ownership guys on this list. So there's a good chance that he's available, I guess is the easiest way to say that. So you can go ahead, add him. And I've made a pretty concerted effort to ramp up my exposure to McNichols. I will say, though, that we're seeing a pretty big growth, and I covered this in the snap reactions. We're seeing a big growth out of Henry in the passing game. So just note that he's running a lot more routes than he has in previous years. So he might be up like 30-40%, something like that. And it could be a big difference in terms of what he ultimately does in the passing game, in terms of moving him from, you know, bringing running back one overall within his range of outcomes. Mike Davis, the clear lead back in Atlanta. Cordarrelle Patterson, the clear injury away guy. And I think that looks a little bit different in terms of how these guys ultimately play out. But yeah, I think it's one I think you feel pretty confident in with how he's basically being used. I mean, you know, I detailed this in the snap reactions, but it's really like Patterson's being used all over the place, but it's clear that he's the injury away guy. And so I think it'd be really interesting, like what would happen. It's something we've kind of wanted to see for a while. Like it'd be really interesting to see that happen. But again, it's really fascinating because in these MFL leagues, like you can get him at wide receiver eligibility, which is very, very valuable if you're going to start a starting running back in a running back mandatory spot. Like that's great, great potential value there. All right, Damian Harris, the lead guy in New England, feel pretty good about how he's been doing too. I mean, it hasn't been huge fantasy success, but I think he's locked into a starting job. Just don't turn the ball over, and he'll be pretty fine. Rhamondre Stevenson, J.J. Taylor, James White. I don't know. We'll have to see there in terms of what that ultimately is. I have a low-level human hand grenade confidence there. And that's actually down to, I have noted on the matrix itself, the color, which is, if it has moved up, it's green, and I've put an up indication. Or if it is down, I've put it red and put a down indication. So my high-level schematics there, I think that is, it would at least be helpful to take a peek at. All right, so moving on to Vegas here. Josh Jacobs, the clear starter. Kenny Drake and Barber, like I detailed it in the snap reactions, like it's just dismal in terms of the production there. They were basically met a yard in the backfield with contact. Like that's just horrendous. Whenever you average more after contact than you do total yards, like that's just brutal. And that's kind of what they were dealing with. So, I mean, I think Barber's probably the lead running back. Drake's probably staying in his role in the event of a Jacobs injury, which kind of tells you that Drake's not really a direct threat to Jacobs, which I think's kind of interesting. I think that's actually good information to know about Jacobs. Marlon Mack, I think, is the injury way guy in Indy. Again, I don't know if I have a ton of confidence and how that would ultimately play out. I think it's a pretty valuable situation. I have a medium level of value on that situation, but I'm just not entirely sure how it's all going to boil out. Baltimore, like I should feel more confident in this situation than I do. And I'll admit that, like I should feel more confident. Tyson Williams has played very well, very, very well. He's played excellent. His priors of being coming from nowhere as firmly influencing how good I feel about him, just because it is uncommon for guys with zero pedigree to come in and be long-term secure starters. I think the starter still on the roster in 2022 is J.K. Dobbins, right? So that's kind of where I'm at with him. And again, you have threats. Like if he gives a couple more in this, like I could feel a lot more confident in him. Again, what's the ultimate out would be the question I'd have. But I think Latavius Murray is the injury away guy. You get Devonta Freeman also working in there. Le'Veon Bell on practice squad. I think it's Latavius Murray and then Freeman and Bell are pretty close as compared to, you know, really being a competition between Freeman and Murray, for example. So that's where I feel. Again, I probably should feel better about Tyson Williams than I ultimately do, but that pedigree prior is really, really sticking with me at this particular point. Next up, DeAndre Swift. He's still the lead running back in Detroit. It's a mix with Jamal Williams. Like, DeAndre Swift's the right answer long term. It doesn't feel totally clean at all times. And, like, listen, this is part of the deal with changing coaching staffs, changing front offices. And you get these things that happen that they're not linear. And, you know, this is a problem that we see. And so I think, you know, this is a DeAndre Swift right now is a good example of, you know, don't be overconfident in any particular player profile, even though you think that makes the most sense. So I think ultimately it's going to work out all right. But base rates are base rates for a reason, right? And there's like a 55% hit rate. And we might miss on Akers. We might miss on Dobbins. Like, from that class, we might not hit 55%. That was supposed to be one of the greatest running back classes in recent memory. Like, there's a really good chance that we don't get to 55% in one of the best classes we can remember coming in. So just remember that. And Swift's a good example of that. Jamal Williams, darn good. Darn good. Funny, too. Funny. If you haven't seen the clip of him talking about basically being the new woman, it's pretty hilarious. All right, Chase Edmonds is basically in a timeshare with James Conner, but taking the receiving-centric role. So that gives him the advantage. I think James Conner can totally fit in and be fine if something were to happen to Edmonds. I think either of them particularly well-situated if the other is hurt. And I like that situation. Chuba Hubbard, the injury away guy in Carolina. And I'll say, like, my confidence level's up because we haven't really seen anything of Royce Freeman. And so I think that is absolutely a notable thing. And I'll get up there with Chuba Hubbard being the injury away guy if McCaffrey's hurt. Again, I'll probably end up selling it, right? That would sort of be the angle. I'm not probably going to hang around if I get a first, something like that. If McCaffrey goes down, we're absolutely selling. Second plus, you know, we'll sort of see what the plus is angle there. But, you know, I think ultimately the right place to do the flip. But I think Chuba Hubbard's the clear guy ahead of Freeman. So I have Freeman in a couple spots where it's like tight roster crunch. I'm probably going to cut him. Like, you know, I got him and Breida sort of in the same strata there of like sort of amorphous, you know, two threes and offenses. I'm not totally set on being super high value or them being super high value, even if they do come through. Like, that's kind of the range in which we're living. So I might pivot to tight end or, you know, stash a quarterback, something like that. Here, and I'll say, like, as a strategic point this year, I have been like flipping through these guys like a lot. And so, like, I used to just sit and sort of like, I was just like, all right, I'm gonna stand here and I'm gonna bang and I'm not gonna move off of these guys. But now I've been like really like, hey, let's see what this week brings with like this other potential situation, and maybe there's like a 4% edge instead of like a 3% chance on Royce Freeman, you know, and I'll just like try and take that extra little margin and just keep doing that, little marginal gains as we go along. I keep finding myself doing that, and Royce Freeman's one of those ones I can just feel like, all right, like we'll let him slip back. And listen, if I got to make a, like, if something happens to McCaffrey and Chuba Hubbard comes in and then Freeman's the guy and I pay for it for a week, like, that's fine. But like, if I'm trying to explore some other options and, you know, and you know, whether it's a tight end situation that we may be exploiting or anything like that, like, I think there's a lot of these things that I'm doing more and more of that this year. And Freeman's one of the ones this week I'll just move away from. Javonte Williams, clear injury away guy behind Melvin Gordon. You heard that right. I think Melvin Gordon's a starting running back there. I think he's a better running back. And go check out Snap Reactions if you're sort of wondering why. I think Javonte Williams is a long-term starter there. Melvin Gordon's still good. Right? He's still a good player, and he's probably going to end up in free agency signing someplace and being a starting running back. Like, that's kind of where we're at with him. He's pretty good. Barkley, I have questions. I'm going to do a deep dive on some of his trade value stuff. Like, I was thinking about a pivot. Like, actually, I'm going to, like, there's a spot where I think I could go to him to Barkley, and I can probably get back like I could probably get back a share of Watson in the deal, and I'm not convinced I'm insane to do it. Like, yeah, I've been looking at it. Like, you know, I had it in the queue to offer, didn't offer it, you know. I'm wondering if there's like other ways to go out there and pivot. So I'm going to spend this week probably looking at some Barkley stuff and thinking about how to pivot. Again, I like the player. I wonder if you can get first round valuation from it right now, if it's not the right play to just cash it and take some liquidity and move on. Booker, the clear injury way guy there. I don't have much confusion or doubt about what that situation holds. All right, David Montgomery in Chicago. You know, I saw some work that someone had done and shown some tape on him and about just some more direct stuff that he's done. I really think he's become a better running back. Like, I'm pretty impressed with him. So I'm a David Montgomery fan after being sort of a David Montgomery, panning some of his performances early on in his career. Damian Williams, clear injury way guy there to me. Joe Mixon, clear starter. I mean, really a robust starting role too. It's a lot of routes. It's a lot of touches over P. Ryan. I don't have a ton of confidence that it's a P. Ryan, runaway 20 touch per game role if Mixon goes down. I think that's kind of what it looks like at present. But I'm not convinced that that's actually how it plays out. So I'm a little dubious there. I have a decent amount of P. Ryan. It might be like a third to second upgrade more than it is like, hey, I can get a future first if Mixon goes down, something like that. Najee Harris is clearly the injury, is clearly the starter in Pittsburgh. I think Snell's the injury away guy. It's tough to tell because Najee Harris is getting like the McCaffrey 100% snap share role. Unfortunately, like they go three and out a lot, so it's not stressing him too much, but it's a pretty big role that Harris has. So I'm really interested to see what, if we get any more information. The McFarland-Snell debate will be interesting once McFarland comes back from IR. That'll definitely be one to watch. Philly, I feel pretty confident that Kenny Gainwell is the guy to own there as the injury way guy. So, I think he's mostly rostered, but I'd be interested in sort of taking a peek at him. If he's not, Miles Sanders, again, I don't – it's one of those, like, it doesn't make me feel great owning that range of the position. And – he's a good example of why, you know, and it's interesting. Like, we're having a discussion in the group me chat today. It's like, well, can we really pick players better than the market? Like, probably not. But in some very specific ways we can. Really, we know that the odds, like if your prior is you haven't hit a top 12 seasonal finish, like it's a lot less likely that you're going to hit a top 12 seasonal finish than a guy who has. Right, like, and if we just use those base rate type situations, like, it's clearly you put Montgomery over Sanders. Like, it's a clear answer. And I think that those things consistently show up, and that's one of the things with Miles Sanders that has given me a lot of pause. So, and that, I think that's going to show up here again this year. Chris Carson is a clear back in Seattle. I have some questions about the backup situation. It's DJ Dallas, it's Collins, it's Homer. Penny's out. I mean, I have zero clue. So if you want to take a cheap shot outside of, you know, a running back two on your roster or something like that, and you've got like an extra spot to stash, like this is kind of like the, you move from Royce Freeman to one of these guys instead. I don't mind doing that. Just because you don't know, and it looks like there's probably like, hey, there's a decent shot that it's him it's a decent shot that it's Dallas instead of Collins. Like, we don't know the answer, but we have a pretty good feeling that it's Hubbard instead of Freeman. So let's just move off we'll take a shot like at one that hits a pretty high likelihood that this person's not going to pan out. But like, there's a shot that he's the injury wig and we just don't know it yet. So I kind of like that pivot. Like, that's the type of pivot I would do. I'm not cutting, for example, I'm not going to cut, you know, P. Ryan for one of these guys, right? That's, I think, kind of a critical difference there as we're sort of thinking this out. So this one's interesting. Chad, my co-host at Football Guys, posited in a staff chat recently, like, hey, when's the last time you could actually cut a starting running back? And he was joking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I was like, ooh, I cut Tevin Coleman. Like, I actually did that. And I was like a Tevin Coleman, like, I was an evangelist on Tevin Coleman. I was like, Tevin Coleman can be the starting running back for the Jets this season. Like, this could happen. And I was right, damn it. Except it didn't matter. I was totally right, and it was like totally like just not useful. So he is the starting running back. I was right. He was able to get through, except it was totally pointless, and it was a waste of energy sort of being right on it. So that is where we're at. I think the situation is consolidating a little bit away from Coleman, though. You're definitely getting the passing game work through Johnson and Carter. Again, I don't have a clear answer. I talked about it a little bit more in the snap reactions. You can check that out. I'd rather own Ty Johnson than Coleman. And the reason is because I think that there could be a consolidation through Johnson in a way that I just don't think Coleman's going to do. So if there's a Coleman injury, for example, Johnson's going to benefit. If there's a Carter injury, I think Ty Johnson's going to benefit. I don't think if there's a Ty Johnson injury that Coleman benefits. I don't think if there's a Michael Carter injury that Coleman benefits. I think either way, the beneficiary in that triad is going to be, no matter what other, if you think about it as a stool, no matter what other leg it gets chopped out, like, it's going to, all the weight and everything is going to go towards Ty Johnson. It's not going towards Tevin Coleman. It's just not. That's just sort of how I read the situation. And as a result, like, give me someone other than Coleman. Again, that's why, how do you start Tevin Coleman right now? Again, what are some of the things we look for? Well, we look for like a two-headed monster. We like home favorites. Like, there's no chance that Tevin Coleman's going to be a home favorite anytime soon. Just not. Like, there's just not a good chance he's going to be like up above 50% in start rate. It's just not going to happen. And as a result, like, I don't have outs there. Ty Johnson, I absolutely have outs. Michael Carter, I do. Again, it's too expensive for me. But I'm not going to do like a second round rookie pick on Michael Carter, but I'd take Ty Johnson for free. You know, and that's sort of a thing that I think is important to think about. So definitely there with Ty Johnson. Again, I'd rather have Ty Johnson than Coleman, and that might sound crazy, but it's true where we're at right now. Houston, Phillip Lindsay's like basically worthless. He's one of the worst running backs in football, and it's pretty bad. Mark Ingram, like, is the lead back. Again, things are going to get more difficult, and maybe you don't play in a division where you, like, it should be that painful. And listen, like, I can, like, they should put up a like a statue of Tyrod Taylor at like the anti-tanking wing of like NFL headquarters, because he is just never going to play his team into a situation where they're going to be super bad. Now he gets hurt and it's a different story. We'll see sort of what comes back here. I really hope he gets back and is playing healthy, because he can really keep this team, I think, professional and sort of going in the, at least not getting totally trounced. You have some mercenaries in Ingram who can benefit from that. You know, Brandon Cooks, right? You've got some guys that can benefit from a professional offense as opposed to whatever Davis Mills is going to offer. So I'm hoping for Tyrod to be back. Looks like we're going to have a 3-week absence at least with him going on IR with a hamstring. So we'll watch that. I think David Johnson's probably the interesting injury away guy, because there's one that, like, he's got receiving. I think if either one of those other guys goes down, that's a situation where the running back situation could consolidate through him. Again, I don't know why it hasn't. It didn't make a ton of sense to me, and there's stuff going on that we're not privy to, obviously. But I think that given the choice between, like, Lindsay or Johnson, like, absolutely Johnson, because I'd rather have, like, that
bimodal outcome. Either he's not startable or he's definitely startable. I'd rather have that than Lindsey, where he's sort of stuck in between. You never know what you're going to get in terms of, even if Ingram goes down or Johnson goes down, you don't know if it's going to consolidate through him. Myles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Salvin Ahmed. This feels a lot like the Jets South. So I think, you know, they're basically, I think they all had between 5 and 6 touches last week. It's just brutal. That's just really, really tough. So again, I don't have a ton of love for that backfield. Devin Singletary has played really well. It's Breida, it's Moss. I'm not super convinced I know what the right answer there is. That probably could be a week-to-week thing. It was Moss last week. It was Breida the first week. So take a coin flip. I would guess, like, I'd update my prior and say it's Moss. Base rates would tell me it's Moss. I don't have a strong conviction of that outside of a Singletary injury. And Singletary's playing really good. So, again, it's going to be one of those things where for the rest of Singletary's career, his ability is probably going to outproduce on the field what he does in fantasy, and we're just going to have to deal with that. But kind of enjoy the ride. He's a good player. And, you know, I've got a couple spots where I need a running back, and I just put him in. And he'll get you something. It's probably not going to be particularly high value, but again, I don't think he gets blanked either. Like, he's a pain to tackle. Chargers here. This one's going to be interesting. It's Eckler, and this feels a little bit like Bills West, where you don't have a great feel between Jackson and Roundtree in any particular week. Like, Josh Kelly's no good, but it's Breida Moss type situation West. That's kind of where it is. And so, you know, I've got a couple shares of Jackson that I'd cut because he was basically playing behind Roundtree. You know, I've tried to add Roundtree a little bit. Again, I think if Eckler goes down, it's probably a mix of all together. What would be interesting is if you got two injuries, like what Roundtree could do. I think that's really what you'd be looking for. All right, last but not least, you get Washington. So Gibson's a really good running back, and I don't think he's just getting probably enough of the receiving workload. That's going to tilt into his market share a little bit, or his market value a little bit, I should say. I think you're going to get a situation where he could potentially be like a Josh Jacobs type career arc. And in the market, like, there's some value to that. He's going to be pinned behind McKissick in terms of perception of receiving. I will say, like, it's pretty close to a 50-50 split. McKissick just got him in more notable time. So just be aware of that narrative coming in. I'm pretty interested in Gibson. He might be a pivot down from guy. You know, can you pivot down from Zeke? I don't know if that's going to happen. But, like, some of those other guys, like Swift, can you get Gibson at first? Like, I'd be really interested in sort of exploring that space about what he could potentially do pivoting to Gibson, because I like him as a player. And think, you know, in the event that McKissick goes down, like, he's going to at least have an uptick in valuation and perception here in the market. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. A full running back review here. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.